Welcome to Overtime on Inferno, your weekly roundup of all the big news in CSGO, in less time than it takes two top-tier North American Counter-Strike players to switch over to Valorant. Quick reminder that we are still running our referral promotion, so if you go down to the description below, you'll be able to see that there is a link. If you refer three friends, you get some cool in-game CSGO stickers. Remember to rate, review, that kind of stuff. I'm Logan. This is Easy Ask. Let's go into our normal stuff. Let's go to the bye round. We're going to talk about North American Counter-Strike. let's talk about the first big thing. Zeppa and Floppy have left Counter-Strike to go to Valorant.
Yeah, so it looked like this was on the cards ever since the Colossus toppled. It seemed like Zeppa and Floppy were going to go to Valorant. The coach or the analyst, Josh Mix, has also been making noises about it, so I think it's just... I think Floppy, and especially Zeppa, probably wanted to stay in CS, but it's difficult for them to find a team right now because there aren't that many teams, and there aren't that many teams of the level that Floppy's at, especially in North America. And realistically, he's going to make more money playing for a Valorant team at this point. I don't think there's any question of that. So I don't begrudge him. I hope he does well over there. Maybe in the future he can come back, but we'll see. It's a real shame because Floppy and Zeppa are both extremely talented players, but it's the way North America is at the moment.
Yeah, it's really saddening to see both them go, like, for me. I think Floppy could have found a place on the team. We talked about last week how I thought that Floppy could have appeared on EG, that could have been a really good fit instead of Mihu, but... Okay, I don't know. There's.
I think he could have fit on OG.
I think he could have fit on OG too. I think that was. I don't know.
I think the problem is more that he doesn't want to live in Europe. I think he wants to stay in America, and Valorant gives him the opportunity to do that.
Yeah. I mean, there's not really the issue. Other issues. There's not teams to join in North America. I mean, you've got Liquid and EG, and then what? Extra Salt. But they're not looking to change anyone, and he's already played with the guys in Extra Salt. Triumph doesn't do anything outside North America. They're not a top-tier team, and then it doesn't even matter because they get beat by teams that don't have an organization, which we'll get to in a minute. So it's an unfortunate thing. I wish Zeppa kind of maybe stayed, like, went the Triumph route or something like that, of like, hey, I'm going to go prove myself more, because he did really well in Cloud9. It's an unfortunate thing for all parties, but it sucks for everyone. I guess except for them because they get a bigger paycheck.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think especially Zeppa really wanted to stay, but it doesn't make financial sense. I don't think to stay for them and join a Triumph or Bad News Bears. Like, why would you risk that when you could make, you know, you could have serious job security, well, a lot more job security playing Valorant. And I have no doubt that when they switch over, there'll be some of the better players there as well, because they were clearly really good at CS and a lot of those skills are transferable.
Yeah. Let's move over to our next part about North American Counter-Strike. Extra Salt this morning beat Big in a best of 3. 2-1. They won on Train. They actually dismantled them on Train. It was rough to see.
Even though Keto pulled off a rude clutch. A really, really unnecessary clutch. So it was very mean.
It's disgusting.
Go and watch it. You will find it anywhere. We might link it down below. He basically hits a no scope on a ladder and then flicks to a guy he can't see for the 1v2. It's unreal.
It's insane.
And they still got banged out.
Yeah. The Extra Salt got beat on Dust 2, which was, you know what? That's Big's map. They take the L there. And then Extra Salt came back and beat them on Nuke, and it was a very good game on all of it. OC did not have the, like, absolute smurf performances that we've started to be accustomed to, at least in North America. He was only +8 over the whole series, but Sonic and Fang absolutely killed it. And on the Big side, Searson played okay, and that's really it. And there's two parts to this, right? One part is Extra Salt beat a European team, right? Which is a good start. They're 2 out of 3 of their European voyage, right? Their first thing being Blast. Now they've got Funspark that they're in now, and they've got something else a little bit down the road. They beat a team, so they're not going to go home winless like Renegades went home winless. But they also beat Big, who, as we've been talking about, has not been the best team known to humankind.
No, but they're still a scalp. They're still a scalp that's worth taking. It's still, you know, it's still Xantares, it's still Tabson, it's still Searson. Like, these players in very recent times were legit superstars. And I think what it goes to show is that when you see a player like Fang popping off, that there is still talent and in North America. And just because players are leaving doesn't mean, you know, one way to look at it is that North America has a dearth of talent. The other way to look at it is the talent's making way for the new, like the new school, who maybe, you know, maybe Fang wouldn't have a chance on a team like this. He would have to go and work his way up through Triumph or one of the other teams and get stuck there for a bit and then move his way on. Like, he's just straight up thrown into the lion's den. I think he's 18, right, Fang? He's very young regardless. He's young. And he just pops off, and it's like, it shows you that there is still talent in North America. There are still players that you can pick up that will, you know, elevate your team. And it's not completely dire, at least yet. It's still, you know, you lose some talent, but that just makes way for more. Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the other two people on the team that went off, right, were OC from North America as well, and then Sonic from South Africa, we're seeing that those players that came over in the original Bravado squad still in the game and still playing very well.
Yeah, I think a lot of credit has to go to JT, who has consistently been a genuinely good in-game leader. I mean, his Cloud9 side and the new Extra Assault side always have remarkably high flash assist numbers, which is like, I think a lot of that has to go down to him because it's always his teams that seem to have that. They seem to have these like set flashes. They flash everything. It's, it makes the game so much easier for yourself when you don't have to win aim duels against players who can see you. Like, it really is as simple as that. And I think that's often goes unnoticed with his teams, is that JT is a genuinely good in-game leader who is a little bit let down by his fragging power, which is lackluster.
I mean, but fortunately on this team, they've got plenty of people to make up for the fragging power. Yeah, Sonic and OC and Fang all can make up for that. And Marky has done a very good job as, well, just being there and being a warm body that's not going to absolutely throw for your team.
Marky's, I think you're a little bit doing a disservice to him. I think he's actually pretty gifted. He's a good player, Marky. I mean, it wasn't his best series, but he is a genuinely decent player.
But regardless, right. The other four of them are playing well enough that it doesn't matter that maybe JT's ADR or headshots or kills are under. The rest of them can by far make up for it.
Yeah.
And we can see that even when OC is not playing to the level that we've gushed about previously, right? Like, he was plus eight in the series. He didn't do bad, but he wasn't like, I watched him miss like seven op shots in a row on Dust 2. It wasn't a great time. Like, even when he's not playing to his highest peak, we see that there's other people on this team to do it. Here's my question. Who wins in a best of three, this Extra Assault team or the Colossus?
I would say the Colossus. I think even though Extra Assault will be more coordinated, I just have faith in Floppy to tear apart other NA teams. He's like, he's better than NA almost. Like, he's better than all of these NA teams. Mm-hmm. So I would say probably the Colossus, but it's probably 2-1.
All right. The underlying question here is the Cloud9 question, which is, they spend a ton of money on this team. They let this Extra Assault team go. Now, obviously, there's been a couple changes. We brought Fang in for Modem and Marky in for Floppy. But in the end of the day, the Extra Assault team still exists and is beating European teams, which is something that eluded the Cloud9 team.
Yeah, I think they will definitely look back on this and go, we fucked up. Like, we didn't. Yeah. You know, this is clearly the wrong decision. I mean, I also think that this team isn't... When you think of Cloud9, they always strive to be one of the best teams in the world. Maybe not, you know, they're not always the best team in the world, but they're usually up there. And, you know, there was a period where they were genuinely top five and won a major, obviously. And I don't think this Extra Salt team will ever be that. And I don't think that's particularly controversial to say. So yeah. I can understand why an organization with the backing and the size of Cloud9 would think we need a superstar team. But of course, it didn't really work out because they signed S-Tag and Woxic for big money. So unlucky.
All right, let's go and talk about the orgless organization of Bad News Bears. They won ESCA Season 36 in North America, which means that they get a Pro League spot in ESL Pro League for the next season, which is awesome for two reasons. One, it's an orgless group of people that have gotten this spot. Bad News Bears isn't real. It's the name that gets used by North American teams when it's the leftover players that don't have a team, that don't have an org. They're like, we want to do this. This is the second iteration of Bad News Bears.
It's like James Bond. It's a code name.
And the best part about this is they beat Triumph, who's a really good team. But they beat Triumph when Triumph had an automatic one map lead on them because they went through the upper bracket as opposed to the lower bracket. So they beat them 2-3 in a match that lasted at least in the US until about midnight. Or one in the morning. It was a late match. Best of five. And Jonji and Peter absolutely crushed Triumph.
Yeah, Jonji has to get a lot of the credit. I mean, I love Jonji. I think he's really good. He was somebody I really wanted to see come to Europe. Because I think he's so good. His first bullet accuracy is phenomenal. And the guy is just straight up fearless, like art level fearless. You tell him to run through a brick wall for you, he'll run through two. He is mental, but he's really gifted. And I mean, you see in a game like this, he will just tear teams apart. He had the most kills and the most deaths in the final. And like far and away the most damage. I mean, nobody else in the server got above 75 ADR. He had over 100. Like, this was just the Jonji show. He just straight up smurfed. The guy is super talented. And I don't think it's any coincidence that the best team in NA now, it was Chaos. Jonji now appears to be Bad News Bears, while Extra Salt are gone, and that's also Jonji, and he's, you know, their best player. I mean, this is a team with PTR and Swisher, and it's like PTR's been around for a while, and we kind of know how good he is, and then you just add Jonji to this roster and immediately elevate it, and everyone looks better, and it's like the guy is. I mean, that is as hard a carry as you'll ever see. 100 ADR over like four maps is insane. That's so good.
On the other side of things, players that we want to shout out on the Triumph side, you're always big on Cynic.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about his performance here? It wasn't the best performance on the entire thing. It wasn't a bad performance either.
No, I mean, this is a little bit disappointing as somebody who thinks, you know, I really think he's super gifted, but it was a bit of a team outclassing as well. When you're on the worst team, you're obviously going to look a little bit worse. I still hold hope that the guy has a lot of potential. But yeah, I mean, it's a little bit disappointing to see him get, you know, a little bit rocked. It happens though. Everyone has, but even Malb's MD has bad games.
All right. We're going to quickly answer a tweet that has to do with North America because it just makes more sense to answer it here. So from Soster4 on Twitter, will we see a Tier 2 North American Super Team made between Bad News Bears, Triumph, and Extra Salt?
So I'd love to see Jonji and Cynic together because I think that team would, like... I don't want to see Extra Salt in this. I want to see Bad News Bears and Triumph create a Super Team and then challenge Extra Salt. I want to see like this rivalry at the top for NA because at the moment NA is just Extra Salt winning everything. And then they go away for a bit and somebody else wins. I want to see like Bad News Bears and Triumph team up to try and take down Extra Salt. And then the players that are left can become like Bad News Bears reserves or something because they're the leftovers. And then they can challenge them and like it'd be like some redemption arc. It'd be great. And that's how you create like, you know, you recreate NA. You create these, you know, these super teams to take on teams like Extra Salt, to take on, you know, Fury, Liquid, EG when they're back. Like, you want a thriving Tier 2 scene, and I actually think it sounds counterintuitive, but I actually think there should be, I think Triumph and Bad News Bears should try and create like some sort of amalgamation, some like godlike Tier 2 NA team, and really really put forward a challenger to the status quo in North America. And I think they can do it. There is, as we said, there is talent. There's players like Fang hiding somewhere. And if anyone's going to find them, it's Shake Zula.
Yeah. Well, I think we need to name this team Bad News Deers.
Bad News Deers. Why is that?
Well, because the Triumph logo is a deer.
Oh, right. I see what you get. Right. I thought there was like, yeah, I thought it was like a caught in the headlights joke.
Not a caught in the headlights joke. When you combine the teams, you got to combine the names too. So that what do we think their roster would be? So John G and Cynic are easy, right?
Yeah, I think so. I personally would have Shig Zula. I like B Wells. And maybe you go PTR.
I think that's probably the way you go. I think that's probably the way you go, and then the rest of the team becomes, I don't know, Bad News Bears Part 3.
Yeah,
because this one's technically Part 2. But
yeah, and then they've got like a chip on their shoulder, and it's like, you know, every like good film has like the bit where the protagonist gets knocked down and they have to like climb back up and, you know, fight their way back in.
It's the first 10-man roster, and they'll just switch out as needed.
Yeah, they just some games they put out the Bad News Bears 5, sometimes they put out the Triumph 5, sometimes they just put it out whoever they want, whoever's available. We got a game tonight. Anyone around? Yeah, all right.
It's like the old guys club one that was there with a Shroud and nothing. That was just like, hey, let's pick,
yeah,
pick up
well,
whoever
they just,
we got.
And then they just brought in like 19-year-olds sometimes as stand-ins. So this doesn't work.
All right, let's get over to the execute. Fun Plus Phoenix signed Emmy after not signing Emmy twice.
Yeah, this is such a weird story, dude. They were like, yeah, we can't make a deal with Chris J, so we're going to get Sonny. And they trial Sonny, and it's like, yeah, I think we're going to go back to Chris J. And then, with no foreshadowing whatsoever, it's like, oh yeah, by the way, Emmy's now our leader, the guy we kicked and weren't particularly happy with. Great. Why? Anyone?
Please,
he's fine, but like, I'm not convinced he's any better than Crystal. He doesn't seem like FPXR either because they kicked him. I know Launders was quite high on Emmy. He thinks he's actually good. So Launders knows more about Counter-Strike than I do. But I don't see it with Emmy. And I say, it doesn't seem like FPX actually think he's that good because they've already kicked him once and tried to sign anyone else. So it's all a bit odd to me.
It's very weird. Especially because, as far as we know, Chris J isn't going anywhere. So Sonny went to the Flusha team, right? That we talked about a couple weeks ago. Sonny went to the Flusha team, so he's not even available anymore. But Chris J's still available, as far as we all know. So unless there was contract issues again, right? Which there were the first time of, I assume Chris J wasn't getting paid as much as he thought he was worth. Unless there were contract issues again, I don't know why they didn't just sign Chris J. They looked fine with Chris J. And by fine in this case, I mean they looked good, right? They didn't look bad with Emmy, but they didn't look good.
It's got to be contract issues, right? Like, you wouldn't go, it looks like we're going to go back to Chris J and then just pull out, like, to get Emmy, the guy you cut. Like, it wouldn't be like, oh, Emmy's available. And it's like, well, you knew he was available because you were the ones that cut him. So it's not like they've realized last minute, oh, shit, we can get Emmy instead. It's like, it must be a contract issue.
It has to be.
Or maybe Chris, anything else.
Maybe Chris got picked up by a team that we don't know about, that we have no clue about, and he'll reveal in the next 2 days.
But like, nobody's like, looking for a player.
We signed Emmy. Yo, Chris J to Astralis, let's go.
I would love that, but it's not going to happen.
No, it will never happen.
It's almost more likely that MSL will go to Astralis, and that's not going to happen either.
No, Chris J, MSL, just exalted people from the
Orping in-game leaders team.
Yeah,
they're gonna get like JR and Captain Mo back, and it's gonna be their team.
Cadian's gonna pull up too. He'll be the coach.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen. I can't see Cadian like actually ever leaving Heroic, because
no,
it's like, see, the analogy I'll give is, you know, when there's like a girl who's not that attractive at school, and then when she gets hot and everyone wants to date her, and it's just like, well, no, you didn't want to date me when I was ugly. Or a guy. It works both ways.
Yeah.
That's like, Katie is like, you didn't want me when I was, you know, going to NA and like everyone thought I was rubbish and didn't like me. Now I'm like captain of my own team. I've dragged them to the top of the... I'm winning, like, best of five finals on my own. Now all of a sudden I'm great, am I? Go fuck yourself. That's what I'd be thinking. If I was Kane, I'd tell him, I'd be like...
100%. I'd do the same shit.
Astralis, you didn't like me. North, you've already got rid of me. Like, you know, these teams, you know, all of these players, you've got rid of me before. You didn't like me until I went, you know, until I went and proved myself as one of the best in the world. See, you know, I do not think anyone else will ever convince Kadian to leave Heroic, because Heroic are the team who believed in him, cut their current in-game leader to give him the role, and then have let him build a team, let him make changes when he needs to. And, you know, it's like a perfect relationship. Heroic get the best of Kadian, he gets the best of Heroic. It's like, I think it's such a cool story, Kadian. Like, as much as I'm sad it didn't work with him at North, it's such a cool story that he came back. Oh, it's just like, and he's just like God mode now.
Back to FPX. I'm not even excited to see this team with Hemi. Like, normally we say, like, yeah, I'm excited to see this player change. It's like, we've seen this already.
Yeah, so it feels like I was building up with that Kadian thing to go, like, so that's what Emmy's going to do. But I'm not going to say that. No, I don't think this team... I'm always quite interested to watch FPX because they're a really interesting case study in that they aren't... Like, a lot of upset teams are really highly talented, but, you know, don't have the leadership or don't have the protocols in place. They're like an upset team who are really well-drilled. They're like Ents used to be. So it always feels like there's potential they could be really good all of a sudden because, like Ents did. Like, they could just somehow become... Like, just, I mean, they do it at the odd tournament, they just become really good. And it feels like they could do that again. But it's so difficult to be excited about this team when they're going back to an in-game leader that didn't work before.
I have some breaking news.
You have breaking news.
Breaking news. Dignitas just beat Evil Geniuses in a best
of three. Oh, yes. No, I did see this. Yeah, I saw this.
I didn't see it until just now. What?
Yeah, I don't know. I saw somebody on Twitter, I think it was Pythor, said Lecro just joined Dignitas and just said, oh, we're good now, and everyone just agreed with him. Because that's what seems to happen. Like, for no reason whatsoever, this team with Forrest and Freiburg in 2021 is just like one of they're just good. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, it's the ghost of NIP with a guy called Heap that I'd never heard of until he joined them, and he's just ungodly good.
Heap and Hauser joined the former NIP team, and that was it.
I watched Hauser play a few years ago and really liked him. I thought he was a really talented player, good deagle player, hybrid, and he just seemed like a very intelligent player to me. And I was kind of excited to see him at Dignitas, but I was a little bit worried about Freiburg and at the time Get Right and I think Exist at some point as well. Yeah. It's like. But they seem to have actually found a roster that has a nice balance a little bit. I mean, they're still on the older side, but...
Who cares? But they're winning.
The scene is better when Forrest is doing well, right? Like, it's always Forrest nice to see well. Forrest doing well.
And again, who cares? They're winning. Well, they're beating quite. Real teams.
Yeah. Well, North American teams.
Okay, yes. But they beat Liquid. They beat EG. Who else have they beaten recently? I'm pretty sure they beat a European team recently. They beat Extra. Oh, they haven't beaten Extra. So they lost to Spirit 2-1. They took a map off of Spirit.
They didn't loot. Yeah, they didn't beat them though. They only beat North American teams. So
you know what? If you can only beat North American teams, and there's two of these North American teams are in the top 10, top 15, that's a pretty good place to be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously being facetious there. They're obviously solid, and it's always nice to see like. Lecro again. He seems like somebody who hasn't ever found the right place for him. The guy's seriously like you watch him and you could tell he's talented. He has all the skill in the world. But for whatever reason it's never seemed to click anywhere, like properly for a length of time. So hopefully Dignitas is that team. It seems to suit him at the moment, so just keep an eye on them.
I don't know if you saw the other day, but last thing about this Dig team before we move on to our listener mail. I'm not. Did you see the Forest clip the other day where he drops down from balcony on Inferno, hits the like dropping headshot, and Get Right streaming the thing, and Jezreel just goes, "No, no, no, Forest, no, 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 no," and just ends his stream. And he's like, "That's not allowed, Forest."
Yeah, it's like it's good to know that being a legendary player means that sometimes you just get luckier than everyone else.
Yeah,
I mean, okay. Simple's testament to that with his like no scope clip.
Yeah. All right, let's move into overtime where we take our best listener questions that Elliot asked for on Twitter and we, well, answer them. So, Harry from Nero CS asks us, what it would be a Valorant team, a super team of current Counter-Strike players, including their characters?
All right, so I had to think about this for a little bit. And if you, for your duelist, you want somebody who's like just straight up fearless. You want like Yakanda playing Reyna. Or Yakanda playing... No, I think Yakanda playing Reyna. I think that works. Like,
yeah, I think that works. It's
just straight up obnoxious. You'd probably just have Simple playing Jett because... I mean, Simple. Like, you want somebody to take an aggressive alt peek. It's going to be him. Yeah. And then you want somebody like... Oh, actually, no. I don't think you would have Simple on Jett because I'd want, like, Shiro playing... Cypher or Killjoy, like something really scabby. Like something where you can just sit in the corner the whole round and that's like his job. And then it just gets into a 1v3 and you just know he's going to win it. So I think I'd have Shiro playing Killjoy.
Can I interest you in a Sanji Cypher?
I don't see how that's going to be better than Shiro.
The most supportive player known to humankind playing a
supportive
character.
I don't want
character.
My Cypher to be supportive. I want my Cypher to be alpha. I want it to be like aggressive tripwiring.
Okay.
I just want Shiro and Killjoy just like to, you know, he has his little turret. Like he doesn't need his teammates then to like go in and bait for him because he shoots a turret. So, like, he just, when he gets in a clutch, you know he's going to win it. So just give him the best clutch
everything.
Character.
Everything I'm hearing so far is we're just making the CIS super team and just saying, go play Valorant.
CSGO Super Team and CIS Super Team are the same thing. I've said it, okay. And I mean it.
Okay. I'm not going to be the one to argue with you.
I'd have Mir on Omen, because the guy seems to have like the best lurk. Like, the guy is incredible at lurking.
Yep.
Like, he's... I mean, obviously, and Omen's like the more dual-y version of a controller as well. And Mir does love to just take an early fight, and if it's an Omen, it's not so much of an issue. Whereas if he's playing an Astra, obviously it's probably not a great idea.
Yeah.
And finally, you just want somebody, you know, maybe you have Sanji as like Breach or something, so we can just flash for everyone.
Just flash everything.
Yeah. And then you need one more. Oh, you need somebody to play Sova. I don't really know what
players, but whatever.
I don't really know what skills you need to play Sova. Feels like a pretty brainless character to me. So we'll give it face crack. I love face crack, man. The guy just switches his brain off to play CSGO, man. I love that.
All right, we just went over the best CIS team. Let's go over the best possible CIS team from everybody except for the top 4x win strike. So from Laureo
CS? I think
CS. He has best possible CIS team without players from the big four, so that's Gambit, Spirit, Na'Vi, and Virtus Pro, or X Windstrike.
So I was a little bit... Oh, we had to really think about this one. This is difficult, right? Because I wanted to say Crad, but then I realized he's on X Windstrike, because Crad is really good. So we settled on Flit from Fours, who is pretty solid, just, you know, reliable rifler. Idis Balance, who is the exact opposite. He's not reliable. Yeah. He's not a rifler. But the guy, when he pops off, he is unstoppable. Like, he really reminds me of Oscar when he was on Mouse Sports, where he would just like have these halves where he would just go like 21-2. And he'd be like, he's got like 21 kills in a row. What's good? And you look and he's like 28-22. You're like, how has this happened? Like, Idis Balance is like that. He would just pop off for an entire half, kill everyone in sight, and then he just won't hit a shot again. It's really bizarre. But with that pop-up potential is insane. Norbert, who was on... Which team?
K23.
Yeah, but I think before that, I remember watching him play. I think it was for
Zona...
Windstrike or QPF, one of these teams. He was at the CIS minor. Really intelligent player, good clutch player, good lurker. Seems to be having a bit of a resurgence. I think I saw something recently about him beating, I think they beat Extremum the other day, K23. I think Norbert popped off.
I think they did. They lost to Dignitas recently.
Yeah, but who hasn't at this point?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Lollipop21K. This guy is the king of deathmatch. If you like, there's some deathmatch server he holds like every month for like 20 months or something. He was the like had the most kills in the server, and you watch him play and you could tell he had like an arm injury last year or something. Came back and he's still just like that's banging out kill after kill after kill. He's really talented. He's clearly the best player on a middling Namiga tide. The final player we decided on. Sasuke QQ, I believe is his name. Maybe not Japanese. He is indeed Russian. He plays for Grond. You might know Grond as the team who had strippers at their lap dancers at their boot camp and still managed to beat Fnatic. And Sasuke was the best player that day.
Oh my God.
And for that alone, I think he deserves a spot. Like, he had 100 ADR versus Fnatic, which is, you know, not a lot of people could say that. And he did it with a stripper on his lap. I mean, what more do you want from me? That seems like good logic to me.
There's nothing we can say about like this is the best possible CIS.
Yeah, some people are going to say, "Oh, is it Adren? Is it Mo? Is it Seized? Is it Flamey?" Because you know he's no longer on Na'Vi. Nope, none of that. Until they top frag against Fnatic whilst getting a lap dance, they're not there for me.
Nothing can be better. All right. And finally, from Naps, TLDR writer, he wants to know our European Super League opinions, but more specifically, whether or not such a thing would work in Counter-Strike.
I mean, it sort of already has worked in Counter-Strike.
Yeah.
With, ironically enough, the ESL Pro League and Flashpoint. That was, you know, that was what it was meant to be. You see it in League of Legends as well with LEC, LCS. These are very similar concepts. So would it work in CS? I think the question is, well, does it work in CS? Arguably no. I mean, it's a little bit more, you can qualify a bit more and you can qualify to Pro League a bit easier in CS. I personally don't mind the Pro League format, but I also quite like I like the open format and the you know the fact that you can come through DreamHack Open like Gambit did and just burst onto the scene and really prove yourself to be one of the best in the world. You're seeing it with Dignitas now, like they probably wouldn't be getting these invites, but they will qualify for events and they'll kill it. And I think that's a really healthy part. So I like that CS has a bit of both, I guess. So I suppose the answer is no, not really. What do I think about it in football? I think the vitriol it's getting from the media and from a lot of football fans is pretty overblown. I mean, I didn't realize it. We're taking power away from UEFA, who are basically like real life supervillains anyway. So, you know, okay, yeah, they're doing it for the money. Nearly all decisions in football are made for money. Let's not fucking kid ourselves. I think it's strange to be a fan of, you know, Chelsea and then all of a sudden be like, no, we can't do this for the money, as if they're not owned by a Russian billionaire who, you know, farms oil, or, you know, or a Man City fan who's owned by the Saudi government and be like, yeah, no, this is morally wrong. Like, come on. So I think it's overblown, but I don't really care either way because I support a team in the second division, so it doesn't really make any difference.
All right. Well, on that, I don't know if that's a disappointment. on that, thank you for listening to us this week. Again, remember that there's a referral link in the description below. In addition, I've started to include our show notes below, which means you can see the same stuff that we're looking at while we're doing this. Please remember to like us, like follow us on Twitter. So at AZESC, at Logan Ramhap, and at ReadTLDR. We will see you again next week.
Peace.